Get out. Get out.
That's right. A massive song for a massive segment. We've got a fantastic geek out. We're geeking out hardcore. We're gonna geek out so hard it's gonna get in your eyes. Ugh.
You made sorry. It weird.
I'm sorry. Guys, I'm sorry. Ugh. We're gonna geek out into your eyes.
That's awkward.
How do you like it? How
probably
do you like
stings.
The geek out? Yeah, probably.
It probably doesn't feel very good.
Nope. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't taste it either. What?
Oh,
ew.
Jesus.
Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc., like the Facebook Piz Age. Of course, go to yotina.podomatic.com. Of course, Stitcher Podcast Radio for all of your podcasting needs that are Team Awesome Inc. related. Of course, Podomatic, iTunes, Podbay, anywhere where podcasts are, basically. And of course, Instagrams.
@team_awesomeinc. And you can also follow me on Twitter @creepysexynerdy.
Indubitably, indubitably. All the words in between.
We've got to find out if those are real words.
Yeah, well, fuck it. It's a mystery. Speaking of which, we've got something that's a bit of a mystery, and I have somewhat of a question to pose to you.
Okay.
Do you think, and this is sort of what the geek out is, of course, the geek out is Hollywood movies, or the movies, or Hollywood, depending on what I name it later, substance over spectacle?
Mm-hmm.
Or spectacle over substance? That's my question. And I know that was a very abstract way of asking it, but ultimately, do you think that, and there's been a lot of people have been saying this, I think one of the famous quotes was from, what was her name from Silence of the Lambs? Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster said recently that Hollywood movies are turning into theme park rides now.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying that they're more about the exhilaration, the ride, than they are about telling the intimate personal story that movies usually told back in the day. But I still feel like we do get intimate special moments in big spectacle movies, because James Gunn actually had a rebuttal to that, saying, well, actually, I try and bring substance and weight and value to my big spectacle movies with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 and 2. I would argue he did.
I agree with that.
In both of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, James Gunn was able to get that heart and that emotion out of a huge blockbuster film.
Mm-hmm. I got very emotional.
Yeah,
the
it was
one.
Really personal, touching moments in both of those movies. And I'm just like, God damn, the first one was about the mother. The second movie was about the father. Mm-hmm. It's like, fuck, what's the third one going to be about? Brother, sister? Oh, that would be cool. Family?
That would be cute.
Like extended
cool.
family?
I'm going to say cute.
Cute and cool. Why not? Yeah. But
Baby Groot.
But that's an exception, I guess. A lot of people would argue, and I have movies that I could pull from my grab bag of shit movies that were about spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know, do you agree? Do you think that that is a sort of trend or something that's happening in the film industry, more and more, that it is turning more into the spectacle over the substance?
I do agree, and I feel like box office numbers kind of speak to that. And I've been guilty of this as well, because I've said, if I'm going to spend the money to go see a movie in the theaters, I want it to be visually interesting.
Absolutely. It should be. It's like you're dealing with the image, the moving image. And
yeah.
If you're going to look at something, and you're going to pay money to look at it, why can't it look pretty? Why can't it look good? Why mm-hmm. can't it be artistic? I mean, you're working with images, you know, it should speak to you in some way. But that's just me.
Yeah, but I feel like there are movies that are really good that are overshadowed by that kind of
mentality.
Well,
I mean, here's one: Clash of the Titans, that shitty one. There was an original Clash of the Titans back in the day. I think it was in the 70s
mm-hmm.
when they made that, and it was really good. It had this mechanical golden owl. And then they made a shitty knockoff, big budget, but only put towards the CGI and the marketing.
Yeah.
Clash of the Titans remake that had was it Gerard Butler or something? Not Gerard Butler, but one of the Sam Worthington.
Liam Neeson in it?
Sam Worthington. I think Liam Neeson was in it. I can't remember. Was he Zeus?
Yes.
Holy shit. Even Liam Neeson couldn't save that fucking movie.
Damn.
And they did a sequel. You know why? Clash of the Titans was a CGI movie, but it was 3D. One of the first 3D movies. But it was a post-process conversion 3D. It only got a sequel because it made so much money because of 3D sales. It was one of the few 3D movies that
because
came out.
Because 3D movie tickets are like $20.
That's what I'm saying. That's the point I'm trying to make. Because that's the only reason why that movie got a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Was because it was a post. It was like one of the hey, 3D's the new thing. This movie came out in 3D. Go see it.
Yeah.
That's why it made the money.
That
that's
makes
why
sense.
I got a sequel. And then is there a third one? No. No one gives a shit about it. So fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, but that's what I'm saying. That's one of the movies I would use as an example. Do you have like? Because it was all about. It was just about the CGI. It was just about the special effects. The actors weren't really, it seemed like they weren't even really trying most of the time,
mm-hmm.
and they seemed like they were bored. It was a movie where it's supposed to be like big emotion, big heart, but the actors seemed bored, and it's because you realize they're acting with green screen.
Yeah.
They're acting with fucking tennis balls. They don't have anyone else or things to look at,
mm-hmm.
or actual props. It's fucking weird. You ever see these movies, like Lord of the Rings, and you watch the behind the scenes footage? And it's all these actors in this amazing ornate costumes and makeup, and they look like they're fighting a battle. And then you look where they're standing, and there's a fucking green screen.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing but green walls, green ground, green everything. Everything's just green. And they're standing there, and they look like they're in the middle of this war, but they look out of place.
Yeah.
And I know that's like the magic of filmmaking, but I'm like, God damn, that's like now I know why the movies look kind of fake all the time. There's some of this underlying weird fakeness. It's because they're just... Mm-hmm. That they look real, but everything around them is not. And I wonder, you know, and there's a lot of times where the special effects are so good you don't even notice. Like, most movies have special effects just to hide things,
yeah.
and we don't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even notice it. Like the wires on people's backs when they're doing stunts or,
mm-hmm.
or you know, there's an ad that was on a building or they completely remove a building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, yep. it depends on what they do. So
I'm
not saying it's the CGI itself. It's just... what they do with it.
My example is the opposite end of things. There was a movie that came out last year that I haven't seen yet. I still really want to. And it's called Loving.
Loving.
And
okay.
it was critically acclaimed. And it was beautifully filmed. And it was an important story. It was about the interracial couple that made interracial marriage legal.
Oh, yeah.
Through the Supreme
Court. Yes, I've heard of this movie. I remember seeing, like... trailers for it.
Yeah, but it came out, I believe, right around when Suicide Squad came
so
out.
So this is a movie that had substance, but then a movie that had spectacle over the substance came out at the same time, and it got crushed.
Yeah.
Even though Suicide Squad ended up kind of tanking,
mm-hmm.
Love tanked worse. Than Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it necessarily
I bet Love only cost like $40 million to make and probably made like $70 or $100 million.
Yeah,
so they
probably
made their money back. With profit.
Just because, you know, it was all real world, probably limited sets and costumes and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's period appropriate. It's not cheap to do that, but then again, it's cheaper than doing a fucking Marvel movie.
Yeah.
That was an excellent point that you're making, though, is that that was a movie that had substance. Love had substance. Suicide Squad, a lot of people would argue there was substance there, but it was kind of lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. But Love had substance, but it didn't have the spectacle. And because it didn't, it got screwed over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're noticing more and more, is that we've been talking about Netflix a lot lately. Netflix is becoming sort of like the last bastion for movies and scripts that have substance.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate saying it because Hollywood is making great big budget films that have substance, but the spectacle, it's like the weights on a scale, right? Like the weights, the balance of the scale,
mm-hmm.
the balance of the scale, it's supposed to be balanced.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's tipping one way.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it's tipping is that the value of substance is no longer there for Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
They not to say that they were ever big on substance, but there is less. I mean, when Schindler's List came out, it was a high grossing movie. It was a big box office movie, Schindler's List. Did you know
that?
Yeah,
I did know
Saving
that,
Private Ryan was a big budget Hollywood movie
mm-hmm.
when it came out. just like Schindler's List. And I know I'm using World War II as an example, but these were like groundbreaking movies.
Well, Titanic,
my God. And that was a big budget movie, and it was period appropriate to an extent. I mean, it played with the mythology and the lore, but, you know, not lore, but you know what I mean? Like the
source
idea,
material.
The idea of it.
Yeah.
But everyone keeps forgetting that these films were big budget. That's what big budget in the 90s used to be.
Yeah.
Like Independence Day was one of the first ones that kind of started that trend. You remember that?
I can agree with that. Independence Day
came out and it's like, holy shit, they're blowing up everything in that movie. Yep. You want to see a different parts of the world get blown the fuck up? Check out Independence Day. And then we all flock to it. Yes, blow the world up. Yes. Oh, we love it.
Yeah, but there are those rare creators that do a really good job of balancing spectacle and substance.
Yeah, I could, yeah.
Like, one that comes to mind is Guillermo del Toro.
Del Toro, yes.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes. Not just Pan's Labyrinth, but even Hellboy. Had a lot of, I mean, yeah, it was a lot of spectacle in Hellboy, but there was substance there. I mean, he was trying to tell different stories of love and loss and of feeling left like an alien or a monster, literally feeling like a monster in Hellboy. He's a monster.
Crimson Peak,
my God. Well, you know, his even his like lesser known things. What was the one where it was the orphanage or whatever? Was it called The Orphanage?
Yes, it was called The Orphanage.
That movie? Jesus.
Messed up.
That movie scares the shit out of people. But, you know, again, he's a director. Yeah, you look at him and you go, this guy can do both. Like The Shape of Water, for example. That's got 13 Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
It is not a big budget movie, but it has spectacle. There is massive spectacle in The Shape of Water. However, there is also substance.
Yes.
It is a prime example of what we're talking about, of what should be kind of going on more and more, but we're seeing kind of less and less of that. And I'm wondering if it's because they're like, well, the people, they don't know how to handle spectacle. Well, they don't know. The people know how to handle spectacle. They just can't handle, you know, big ideas, you know? You give them spectacle, and then you throw too big of an idea at them, then their brains don't work. Their brains just short out. They're like, what? You mean you're going to have this big heartfelt moment while a robot is blowing up a lizard?
Yeah.
What? We can't handle that.
We don't know what to do now.
You mean like this father's dealing with his gay son? And there's a robot fighting a lizard. We can't handle those two concepts at the same time.
No.
Separate that shit. I'm like, no, fuck that. Let's tell that story at the same time that a robot's fighting a lizard about his father accepting his son who's coming. Why not? That's a story right there, you know?
One of something really funny, it was what just came to mind when you were talking about weird things and our brains not being able to handle them.
Yeah.
Justice League.
Weird
because
movie.
Because they wanted you to feel for the random family.
Yes.
While the world was ending.
Man, Justice League. What a weird
and
film.
It didn't work.
It had moments where I liked it and moments where I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? And most of it was, by the end, I walked out being like, what did we watch?
Yeah.
That was weird.
But backtracking a little bit, another director, speaking of DC, oddly enough, that I feel like balances spectacle and substance really well, David Ayer.
You know, a lot of people would argue that Suicide Squad was unpolished.
Well,
and they would even argue that Training Day 2, End of Watch. Sorry, I call End of Watch Training Day 2. I'm sorry. It's Training Day 2, End of Watch. It is.
Whatever.
It's End of... I mean, it's like it's not Training Day 2. It's like Training Day 2, Demotion.
But I wasn't talking about Suicide Squad. I was talking about End of Watch, but I was talking more specifically about Bright.
Bright. Well, again, Bright was a fantastic movie.
Yes,
I loved
and
Bright.
He talks about really serious real-world issues and includes orcs and fairies and elves and does it in a really cool way.
I really enjoyed the way in which he handled, I was like, we were watching the movie and I'm just like, this movie's so much cooler with fairies and orcs. Like if it was just a cop movie,
like
I'd be
End
like,
of Watch.
I'd be like, fuck this. Like End of Watch was good. Don't get me wrong, but it was just about everyday horrible shit. Bright's about everyday horrible shit, but instead of it being like, you know, real completely 100% real, there's orcs and fairies.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like there's more of a distinction between reality and fantasy there.
Yeah, so he balanced the substance with spectacle without overshadowing the substance.
I felt like Bright was a fantastic movie, and I'm amazed that it's been getting bad reviews. I think it's only getting a negative spin because they're scared of like movies being released on Netflix streaming.
I bet that's probably it.
They're like, what? Netflix is going to fuck us over completely and change the industry? Fucking burn them online. Burn
them. Like it.
Burn them online.
Attack.
Yeah, really. Attack mm-hmm. them, people. And that's. I feel like that's what's going on to it. But again, that's me thinking conspiratorially. I mean, in reality, the industry is changing. And what we've noticed is that, you know, Jodie Foster had a point, man. And I hate saying it, but the movies are turning into theme park rides, kind of. This is the horror movie theme park ride.
Well,
this is the action movie. This is the sci-fi. This is the superhero ride. They're all kind of like rides, and yeah, they're exhilarating. They're fun, but at the end of it, you don't feel that same sort of like. Goddamn, I remember watching Gladiator,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, that movie was like 2.5 hours long, and at the end of it, I walked out of the theater like that was amazing. I was like, I was sitting there like, the whole time I was watching the movie. I didn't even care like how long it was. I was just so enamored with the story. Mm-hmm. And again, that's really, you know, it's Ridley Scott being Ridley Scott, obviously. But goddamn, it was such a good movie. And I walked out of it being like I felt good. I walked mm-hmm. out of Gladiator and I'm like, what an amazing story. What an amazing accomplishment of filmmaking. This should win an award. And it won an Oscar. And I'm like, fuck yeah. I think it did. I can't remember, but it was great, and it should have won one if it didn't.
I don't know. And you know what? I think studios are doing that on purpose because they're realizing you can make money off of that. Like No, like literally, if your movie is good enough and epic enough, it will be made into a theme park ride.
Yes. Or it'll be based off of a theme park ride. Look at Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Fucking rides in an amusement park. Toys are being turned into movies. Mm-hmm. Rides, like games, even Jumanji. Mm-hmm. Jumanji was never really a board game, but now it's turned into a video game board game
yep.
thing. It's turning into a whole franchise now. Mm-hmm. And then there was Zathura, which was like a shitty Jumanji spinoff, which nobody liked. Remember Zathura? No.
Yeah, I remember Zathura.
Jon Favreau directed that, and it was still bad.
But, like, you know, Harry Potter got a whole world.
Yes, he did.
In Universal Studios.
You get, like, 10 movies and billions of dollars. That's going to buy you a theme park.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah. And what else was I thinking of?
Oh,
Avatar is getting a world. Star Wars is getting a world.
Yes,
you know?
I can't wait for Star Wars Westworld.
Yeah.
Not really Westworld, but it's basically Westworld Star Wars.
Yeah, that's the whole reason Universal Studios was created.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
To have movie-based rides.
And then, obviously, now we're getting movies based on rides, which is so fucking meta.
That's so weird.
Because it used to be, oh my God, it used to be that the rides would be based on the movies. Now the movies are based on the rides. This is so
weird.
What's one of the most, like, famous roller coasters ever?
I don't even know. I don't like roller coasters.
And neither do I.
So I don't know.
No, because like that's the thing. It's like you can't think of the most famous roller coaster ride ever because all of them are just copying each other, but they're all still the same fun.
But I'm just going to put this out there right now. If anyone in the world ever makes an It's a Small World movie, I give up on the industry.
Don't say that. They're going to do it. We're going to wake up tomorrow and on Reddit, it's going to be like, It's a Small World is getting a movie.
No.
Just option. Sony just optioned Disney for a three-picture deal for It's a Small World.
Oh, God.
It's a Small World franchise.
Horror film.
It's got to be.
It's a horror franchise.
It would have to be a horror movie.
Get James Wan on board.
I don't know how you can tell It's a Small World, that theme park. I don't know how you could turn that into a ride without making it a horror movie.
I don't know.
It would have to be a horror movie where it's just on repeat and then those kids are following you and
they
pop up everywhere. You turn a corner, It's a Small World, and you're like, oh fuck no, that's a horror movie.
Or even worse, because I've heard horror stories of people break the ride breaking down but the music is still going.
Oh, that is a nightmare.
It's a found footage movie.
There
right
you go.
There.
That's
right
boom.
There.
How about that? Yeah, there
you're
we go.
Welcome,
we're turning into You're Welcome Hollywood on
wrong
Geek
segment.
Out. It's a Small World. Okay, Disney, if you're paying attention, check this shit out. We got a pitch for you. Because clearly you're making movies out of everything. We've got a 3-picture deal for It's a Small World after all. Check it. People are on the ride. they're making fun of it. Oh, it's stupid, right? Just a small world. It's kind of stupid. Kind of creepy, right? Yeah, but it's lame. Breaks down. Music keeps playing. Then the lights go off, but the music keeps playing.
Oh, God.
And then the doors lock, but the music keeps playing. And then the lights will pop up randomly, and you're like, what's going on? And it's a small world after all, right?
And all the dolls are gone.
And then it's like the light will turn on in one spot, and the doll's there singing, and then it's gone, but it's still singing. And you're like, where the fuck is it? And then you hear clanging in the background, and it's like, are they walking around? That is a horror movie. You're welcome, Hollywood. No. We've done it again. But then Disney wouldn't want that because then people would go to the ride and they'd be like scared. It would turn something that was a beloved memory into a horror attraction.
I don't know if that ride was ever a beloved memory.
That would be awesome. No, are you kidding? I would love to do that. Something that's a beloved memory and turn into a horror movie and then turn the ride. It would turn the ride from being a fun ride into a horror movie ride.
Yeah, and I would still never go on that ride again. Ever.
I think it'd be more interesting that way. Sorry. No offense. I mean, it's like kind of boring when you break it down.
I'm going to stick to the Haunted Mansion and teacups. Oh, Haunted Mansion.
Well, that's already a movie.
No, I know. But
just
they
like Pirates.
Made it into a movie.
Because of the success. Well, that's
what
we're getting back to the geek out. That's because of the success with Pirates of the Caribbean, they started doing other movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Haunted Mansion.
I liked Haunted Mansion.
What? With Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy's great.
Look, people, sometimes Hollywood can do such a good job at spectacle that they could trick magpie audience members like V here. V gets tricked by magpie audience member like V gets tricked by Hollywood into liking shit movies. Like, what was it? I can't remember what it was called, but I know it's shit. That's what
Haunted Mansion.
That's the one. What, Haunted Mansion? What about Pluto Nash?
It was great. Did you even watch it?
Did you watch Pluto Nash? How about Meet Dave?
No, I didn't watch
Pluto
Nash.
Those were great.
But you know what
other movie
Norbert? I did like?
Remember Norbert?
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
We're not here to talk about Eddie Murphy's career. That's a whole other segment, which we could go into at length. That's like a two-part special. But when it comes down to like the actual question, so if I was going to ask myself, hey, me, and like, yeah, what? Like, don't call me me, by the way. My name's Mike. You know my name. I'm you. Got it. So I'd say, look, here's the thing. Eddie Murphy's got another movie coming up. Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Yes.
Are you in? Yes, I am in. No, sorry. The question is Hollywood valuing spectacle over substance? And I think the answer is that they're not stupid. They act like they're dumb, and they treat us like we're stupid. But I think the trick is that we know they're not dumb, and they know that we're not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
They know that we want a little bit of substance with our spectacle, but they also know that we want a little bit of spectacle with our substance. Look at Murder on the Orient Express, the Johnny Depp movie that was coming out recently.
Mm-hmm.
This may, if you hear this later on, insert whatever movie is coming out that is literally, you take a movie like Murder on the Orient Express, they were trying to market it to the Marvel crowd. Did you notice that?
I did.
Look how
that.
Cool this is. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a movie that takes place back in the day, but it's cool.
And
it's
they
like
used
a
Imagine
superhero.
Dragons in the trailer, which just didn't make sense.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Murder on the Orient Express? You're a boring movie. Quit acting like you're exciting. You're a whodunit. It's a whodunit on a train that breaks down.
Yeah.
It's not even going. The train isn't even moving. And then when it does move, shit happens, but no one cares at that point. And then the guy's already dead. You know what? Rent it. Just go rent it.
Yeah, just go rent it.
It's a rental. Wait for Netflix to have it, which they probably do already, if not.
No.
They will not eventually. Yet. But, I mean, the question is, I think that they're not stupid. They know that they'll know that we, the people, will be turned off if it's too sweet, but then we'll be turned off if it's too sour as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they know
that's
we
true.
Like a nice mix of the sweet and sour, and they keep, sometimes it's a little bit sweeter, sometimes it's a little bit sour,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's coconut.
Oh,
sorry.
What
I'm gonna stop.
Are you doing?
The point I'm trying to make is that they do test audiences, and they've been doing test audiences forever, and technology's getting better. They could very well have an algorithm that they run, like a program where they just run through the audience spectrogram thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, look, we figured out that people generally like this kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah. The Hollywood spectrograph machine figured it out. Well, how did it do that? Well, it just compiled all of these people's likes and dislikes and found out that most people like the same shit and most people dislike the same shit, especially in movies. Why is that? Well, we kind of program them through movies. So wait, how do we know what they like? Because we tell them.
We tell them what they
like. But we don't know what they like, but we tell them what they like. Yes. How? Hollywood.
Hollywood.
It's Hollywood.
We just do. It just works.
Hollywood. Like, all right, fine. And I think that's the mix there. It's like, it's literally like they know what we like, but they also want to tell us what we like at the same time.
Yeah.
It's getting weird now. Mm-hmm. We're getting weird about it, but we're trying to outthink. And we're not even trying to outthink. We're trying to, like, pick apart what's going on. And I think the industry is just, I think it just evolved. I think they play it by ear.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just go, hey, look, these movies are doing well. You know, ever notice how, like, one movie comes out and then another one comes out and it's, like, the same movie?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the magician movies? When we had Christian Bale's magician movie, and then we had Ed Norton's The Illusionist. And
the
then
Illusionist.
Then we had The Prestige and The
yep.
Illusionist. They came out mm-hmm. at the same time. We had, anytime a Pirates of the Caribbean came out, then we had a bunch of pirate movies come out around the same time.
Yep. David Bowie was in The Prestige. Fun fact.
Yes, he was. He played Nikola Tesla. And yep. they should have made a Nikola Tesla movie starring David Bowie. They never did.
Nope.
It's bullshit. Should go back in time and make that happen.
No, they should go back in time and make Labyrinth 2.
Yes. And then the Tesla movie.
Yes.
And then he may go. if he wants. No, but guys, that's the trick. Like, sidebar. Trick about David Bowie, he's not dead. He just changed form. David
yeah.
Bowie is now the all-seeing watcher of our universe. He keeps an eye on Earth and he grants all of our magical wishes.
Yes.
And he dances in our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So never forget.
Oh, yes, he does.
Hey, don't get what? Weird about it.
I'm not getting weird
He's not
about
dancing
it.
Like that in our dreams.
You don't know.
Okay, yeah, I think he is. It is David Bowie. He used to get freaky. All right. Godspeed, Bowie. Regardless of all of that, Bowie love aside, I don't know. Like, I would like to see. I mean, well, what do we want them to do? We want them to start making boring dramas again. Like, I know I'm saying boring drama, but they're boring.
No, they're not.
They can be. Everyone knows that they. Like,
then it's not a good drama.
Then you're right. It is. It's not a good drama if it's boring. But then again, what makes a drama good? It's like real life. Well, if you're bored by real life, then it's going to be boring. It depends on what you're interested in for a drama.
Yeah.
A lot of people would argue that comedies have enough drama in them, you know? And these days they do. You don't ever get, and that's the people, God damn it, I feel like Alex Jones, people, America, listen, America. No, but seriously, listen, like, they're not going to give you a comedy and it's just going to be nothing but straight up comedy for 2 hours. They're going to give you a comedy, but they're going to have a love story, or they're going to have a struggle of friendship or a coming of age. It's not just going to be a straight up comedy. In order for it to be more tasty, they got to give you some tears with the chuckles. You know, they got to
mm-hmm.
give you a little bit of each. Even if it is an action movie, you're going to get a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
If it's a horror movie, you're going to get a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a comedy, a little bit of everything. You know why? Because they want to please us on all levels. And so every movie. So if it's going to be a horror movie, it's not just going to be a horror movie.
This is true.
You get laughs in a horror movie. You get laughs in a drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get scary moments in dramas.
Mm-hmm.
You get scary moments in horror movies. Like, my God, the combinations are endless. It's just flavor palettes. It's just, it's like everything. Look at the same thing. What's one of the main ingredients that's in most dishes? Salt.
Yep.
Salt. Fucking salt. It's the main ingredient in most dishes. It's salt or sugar. What's sugar? It's kind of like salt.
It's kind of like salt.
But it's the main fucking ingredient in most dishes. It's kind of like salt, except it's sweet.
Yep.
It's like they're both crystals.
Mm-hmm.
They both have different geometric shapes, but it's the same fucking thing, same principle. They both affect your flavor palette in a way. It's the same kind of principle when it comes to movies. It's just we're getting more sugar than salt, I feel like. If that makes sense.
No,
if
that
you
want to
call drama the salt of the scenario, we're getting less salt and more sugar.
Yeah.
But we're getting enough salt to keep us going, it's not too sweet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we're still not getting enough. And I feel like if they just get a little bit more salt in there, a few more pinches of salt in that, I feel like it would justify all this spectacle.
Moral of the story, Hollywood needs to hire Salt Bae and quick.
Yes, Salt Bae,
or he knows what he's doing.
Or Jacobson's Salt Company, or what was the salt? What was the other salt place?
The one with the chick with the rain.
Yeah, yeah,
on
with
it.
the umbrella lady.
I don't know.
Oh God, it's not Umbrella Salt, is it? Umbrella Corporation.
No.
Speaking of which, Resident Evil franchise. Talk about spectacle over substance. This is a series that relishes in the fact that it is spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
Over substance.
Oh, yeah.
They know it. They every time they make a Resident Evil movie, they're like, so how fucking ridiculous are we going to make this?
All of it.
How ridiculous do we make the last one? All of it. More.
More than all of it.
More of all of it. Plus a kite. A kite? Yeah, I don't know.
Just throw it in there.
Everything plus a kite or a sink. It doesn't matter. All the shit.
Everything but the kitchen sink.
And you go to those movies, you watch the Resident Evil movies, and you go, oh, okay, well, I know what I'm getting into. This is going to be shit.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun shit. It's going to be a fun ride. I purposely watch those Resident Evil movies knowing they're going to be bad. I know, like Fast and the Furious, I know it's not good.
Yeah.
I know the Transformers movies suck, but I still watch them.
Hey, no, wait, hold on.
You know why?
Fast and the Furious
they're fun.
Is good.
No, okay, you're right. It's about family. The Fast and Furious franchise is about family. It's good. You're
yeah.
right. But.
Jesus.
But. You watch them because they're kind of lame.
Well,
they're kind of lame. You feel kind of like a douche when you watch them, but that's kind of the fun of it.
No, and it's funny
even though
because
they're about the spectacle.
Yeah, people ask me that all the time. They're like, why do you like the Resident Evil movies? I'm like, because
they're
a movie
bad.
Doesn't necessarily have to be good for me to like it. It has to entertain me for
yes,
an hour and a
half.
And
people don't understand the I get it. Snobs. There are people that are snobs, and they're like, look, this isn't good fun. I've poo-pooed on many of things you've wanted to watch in the past.
Uh-huh.
I know, but you've done the same to me, too.
I haven't poo-pooed them. I just straight out refused.
Yeah, see? There
There's
you go.
A difference.
Yeah, but I refuse and poo-poo. So what? Big deal.
So you're just mean.
Regardless of that, I can still appreciate the fun of a movie, even if I know it's not... Even if I know it's fake and I see the CGI, I'm like, oh, that's really bad CGI. Mm-hmm. I still kind of enjoy it. Because I'm like, then I enjoy it on another level where I'm like, I kind of believe the bullshit they're telling me, but then I can see the seams.
Yeah.
I see the zipper on the monster, and I'm like, that's kind of funny, but it's still kind of, I get what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I still enjoy it. It's like a weird, it's a meta at that point where you enjoy it on multiple levels, and part of that level is that you don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
But that's you know what you're getting into with the Resident Evil movies. But now we're seeing more and more that we're getting like a big budget movie, superhero, action, and even in the horror movies, we're seeing that the horror movies are having to step it up. The horror movies are now franchising. This
yeah.
started with Saw. Saw was the one that started franchising
mm-hmm.
itself and
yep.
then went crazy. And then it was all the other ones. Then Paranormal Activity started doing it.
Hostel. Actually, aren't there only two
Human
Hostels?
Yeah, but still, that's a franchise.
Fucking
you know?
Human Centipede.
There's
Don't
like
even get me started on that one.
Three or four of those fucking things now.
There's three.
There's enough where they could centipede the movies. They could sew the movies mouths and assholes to themselves
oh,
now.
God.
That's what they should do. That should when they market the DVD... The DVDs, the Blu-ray, they need to sell it in a package where it's like ass to mouth.
I am not proud to admit that I have seen 1.5 of those movies.
I've seen one of them, and then I saw a clip from the second, and I cried and called one of my close friends and just had to talk to them about life for a minute. It was horrible.
I bet the clip you saw is the part I stopped at.
Yes. Is it the car part with the pedal?
No.
You didn't stop at that part?
That was the end.
Oh, no, that's a clip I saw.
That was the end.
Someone's
you saw
like,
the ending
someone
clip.
Said, show, someone's like, here, watch this clip. It's from Human Centipede 2. And I watched it, and I'm like, I'm never watching that movie.
No,
I'm
I stopped
never gonna watch that
before
movie.
That. That was the end of the movie. I stopped before that.
So, yeah, even horror movies are doing the franchise thing.
Yes.
Even Human Centipede.
Yes.
Even fucking Human Centipede has multiple movies. A movie that I never would have thought would happen.
Mm.
But So this is the point that we're at. Where we're trying to ultimately answer, what is it we want? Do we want them to be? Because I remember when I was a kid, I'm like, man, why wouldn't they? Why don't they just make X-Men a movie? When I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
I would watch the X-Men animated show, and I'd be like, this show is so good, these characters are so cool, and I had the cards, little
yeah.
collector cards. Why isn't X-Men a movie? And I kept, when I was a kid, I'm like, this would be so awesome as a movie or a TV show or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 2000s, they finally made one. And
yes.
I was like, awesome, great. They finally made a fucking X-Men movie. And it wasn't exactly the way I wanted it to be. They didn't have the big, colorful costumes. They weren't wearing big 90s hair that was all sprayed, hair sprayed on. They were more normal, everyday kind of people, but the concept and the stuff was still there.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed it. I still loved it. But I was like, man, that'd make a great movie, you know, because I'd seen Batman. I'm like, well, you know, and Batman was one of the first superhero movies that really paved the way for the other movies to come. I mean, Superman, the
absolutely.
First Christopher Reeve's Superman kind of did that, you could argue. But then Michael Keaton, Tim Burton did it for mm-hmm. everyone else from that point on. So, but those were spectacle movies. But you would watch the first Batman, even to this day, the 1989 Batman movie. You still watch it and you go, yeah, this is the story of a guy who got traumatized as a child and he's all fucked up as a grown-up now. He dresses up like a bat and beats up bad guys. He's mm-hmm. crazy. He's fucking crazy.
Yep.
He's rich enough to get enough training and enough equipment to go fight. I mean, he's kind of it's sad because then he's crazy. He's almost like a villain who went good or something.
Yeah,
in that regard,
I can agree with
in
that.
In a way. So, but you watch that and you get those kind of ideas, and then they introduce the idea that the Joker created him, but then he created the Joker, and mm-hmm. it's this weird duality of good versus evil, and it never, it's like, wow, what a great concept. And that was in a 1989 superhero movie.
Yes.
So nowadays, I'm wondering, does it, when they do have substance, does it feel forced now? Because you're like, well, now you're trying too hard. Because now it's like, we can't be happy. We can't be happy either way. It's like, if there's too much substance, it's like, well, now they're trying too hard. But if there's too little, it's like, well, they didn't even try at all. So now it's like, well, where's the happy medium? I'm like, well, we always talk about studios interfering.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe that's where it is. Maybe the studios need to let the filmmakers kind of be that cook in the kitchen.
Yeah, no,
but
I agree with that.
Then they have a model. Then the studios have a model that works.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, depending
sometimes,
on the studio.
Yeah.
So I think that we still have substance with our spectacle. I don't think it's one over the other currently, and I don't think they're ever going to be dumb enough to just make it one over the other. But I do think that we are edging close to becoming more spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the spectacle used to emphasize the drama, now the drama is emphasizing the spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird. It used to be you would have these dramatic moments, and then the spectacle would come in and emphasize it. Like, you'd have a superhero movie, and you wouldn't really see the superhero that often. Like, in Batman, you wouldn't see him that often. And when you did, he was always in dark light, and you wouldn't really see him. Like, he wasn't always in center stage all the time. He was kind of off. So that whole spectacle thing, I don't think it's lost. I think that you still had the substance with that, you know? Because now, like, you would barely see Batman pop on the screen. He would be on screen, but he wouldn't be on that long, and he'd only fight, but it'd be, like, little clips. But now you see him, like, full center, like, he's on during the day. He's, like, you see him when the mask, you see him take the mask off. In Batman, in the 89 one, you wouldn't really see him dressing up. You'd see shots of him putting it on.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't see him with the mask off, and if you did, it was weird. It was like, They had a different way of doing it then, where it was very much a distinction between the two characters, and you wouldn't really see them blend together.
I can see
and
that.
And now it's like, where it was like spectacle, it's like you had to have the drama taking place in the scenes and the dialogue, and then the action would happen to emphasize the battle that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
The battle isn't just of fists, it's of idealisms, and it's of concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we have almost lost track of that. But do we need people standing around talking, saying, this is important, now let's fight? Like, I feel like you need a little bit of both.
You do need a little bit
of
both. I mean, we just need to find a balance.
But now Netflix, it's not even TV anymore. It's like, it's just streaming online. It's just watching things online now.
Yeah.
It's literally just watching things. So now you could still, we'll call it TV for now. I feel like TV is able to take that substance and say, Hey, Hollywood, you don't want all that substance. It's getting in the way. We'll take it. We'll make TV movies that are just as good as actual movies in theaters, but they wouldn't stand a chance. And that's the truth. Netflix is making Okja, that movie Okja that's on Netflix, it did really well there. If it was released in theaters, it would have tanked. Bright.
Yeah.
Bright? If Bright came out in theaters, it would have tanked.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix, it's killing it.
Yeah.
All these movies that are coming out on Netflix are killing it. And these are movies that in the 90s would have been those big budget Hollywood releases that we were speaking to earlier.
Yeah, I agree.
Bright would have been like Men in Black in the 90s.
Yeah.
Easily.
Absolutely.
Easily. If Bright came out in the 90s, it would have been like the next Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another movie that I was like, man, that should have been a much better franchise.
Love Men in Black.
And then it fell apart.
It did.
Oh, that's a bummer. It could have been so much better. They're talking about rebooting it with Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum, like a 21 Jump Street movie.
Huh.
I would love it. Please do that.
Yeah.
Please make that happen. America needs it. Because then you got comedy with spectacle.
Yep.
You don't really need substance with that one.
No.
That can be fun.
Not
that's
really.
What we're saying. Yeah. There's exceptions to the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, I mean, it can't be one over the other, but there is a trend. So right now, we're in a phase, would you say?
Yes.
So we're in a phase. It seems that the substance is having a longer shelf life on streaming services and television.
Yes.
But the spectacle is still on TV. You can still watch it. But people, when people are at home and they're watching TV, they don't want that big, crazy experience.
Mm.
They want a big, crazy experience, but it's more contained. They want it to be more palatable at home.
Yeah, exactly.
On a long-term basis.
Mm-hmm.
But in movies, we do want a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's a pat on the ass, money's on the dresser, whore. What?
What?
What was that? And then nothing.
Took it to a weird place.
Thanks,
but
Hollywood.
Okay.
That's what Hollywood does, takes it to a weird place. And I guess we can end there. The drama, the spectacle, sorry, the substance and the drama and all of that, that's all still there. It's all there. We're still getting it, but now you got to go to TV or you got to wait till a really good drama comes out. And then that drama has to fight its way in the box office.
Yeah,
it really does.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the movies that are in the best picture category for the Oscars this year and even last year, never saw them.
Yep.
I don't even know what they are.
Yep.
But they're huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, God damn, really, I think we're in a phase, but it is favoring spectacle. But I want to hear, I'm going to give you the final word before we close out.
No, I totally agree with you that I'm hoping it's a phase, and I want to see more substance in the future. And I want the more substantial films that are being created to be more successful.
Yeah, it's a bummer that they don't have as much of a shelf life in the box office, but if they go on TV, they're a hit.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's bad, but it's like if I go pay to see a movie and it's like $14-$15, I kind of want more bang for my buck, and I think that's what people kind of want.
I guess I want to rephrase what I said. I want the
critical
acclaim.
But you're right about
to
that, though.
Be matched by the monetary reward.
I mean, you're right, though. I mean, like, you want a drama to be just as good as a movie that has spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
You want the drama to be just as good as the spectacle is, but it doesn't have to rely on one or the other.
Yeah.
But I guess at the end of the day, it's personal tastes and an industry that is making money with a model that works.
Mm-hmm.
C'est la vie.
For now.
C'est la vie, America. C'est
la
vie. Hollywood. That's going to do it for this Geek Out. Thanks for geeking out. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Like the Facebook page. Download, like, and subscribe for free on iTunes as well as Podomatic, Stitcher Podcast Radio. We're on there as well as Podbay, Podomatic, and all the other stuffs. What else?
Instagram.
Yep, that's the one.
At Team_Awesome Inc. And follow me on Twitter at Creepy Sexy Nerdy.
Truth. Most of it. Most of it's the truth. Actually, all of it. We're being very genuine.
Yeah.
Don't forget Simmer Mike, the YouTube channel Simmer Mike, all caps, all caps.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome. What a fun experience. Well, you know we're doing to the show right.
Awesome.
We here at Team Awesome.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.